Okay, so Allison, you know what manga is, right? This style of Japanese graphic art, comics, this sort of cinematic anime full of these big-eyed, slender, really flexible action figures. And there's an artist in the UK who's decided to take this style, this manga medium, and recreate one of the oldest texts known to man, the Bible. This is a very ambitious effort. British raised and Nigerian educated, Achibio Akinshiku authored and illustrated the manga Bible from Genesis to Revelation, a story of a world of chaos, corruption, and crazed prophets that really makes Jesus Christ into a superstar, or rather a superhero at least. Shiku, as he prefers to be called, has been described as one of Britain's best graphic artists, and he's on the line now with us from London. Hi, Shiku.
Hi, good afternoon there, or
Thank
good morning.
Good morning here on this side of the pond. Thanks for being with us,
Yes.
Shiku.
Hi
First,
there.
I want to ask you, what makes good manga?
Ooh, storytelling, like anything else. What makes a good film? What makes a good book? Storytelling.
And what was attractive to you? What was it about the story of the Bible that you thought might fit with manga?
Well, I mean, I'm a believer anyway, so I have faith in what the Bible says. I think that's one reason. But I think another reason is it is the greatest story ever told, really. The biggest, the largest number of books sold in the world at any particular time has been the Bible. It's been breaking records for the last, who knows what, decades and decades. So yes, it's material that's primed to be updated, probably every 10 years or so.
And you thought there's enough there, or there is enough kind of action that you thought that this was something that you could turn into a graphic novel. Are you doing this for any kind of proselytizing purpose or
Well, we're always on the lookout to proselytize.
But you did study, you are a
Constantly.
believer. You studied theology. Is this an effort to get more people to pick up the Bible?
Well, yes. I mean, in a way, it's a kind of re-educating of a people. The current generation of young people didn't really go to Sunday school like my parents did or like I did. So they don't really have this general knowledge of the famous stories like, the Moses story, the parting of the Red Sea, and the Abraham, narratives. They don't really know them like we did when we were kids. So it's more of kind of like introducing them to the stories and kind of like telling them these stories are still relevant. The people in these stories are just like you and I. They have the same passions, same ambitions, same weaknesses, and same strengths. So in a way, we're saying that the Bible is just as relevant today as it was 200 years ago. So that's one way of looking at it. A second layer or a second reason why we've done this is to also introduce to the Christian fold, that's people who do know the Bible, who go to church, a different way of looking or interpreting the scriptures. So you can see it's for two groups of people, those in the know and those not in the know.
But you're selective. You didn't just reinterpret the whole darn thing. Your version is only 200 pages. That's substantially shorter than the original. How did you
Yeah.
decide what made the cut and what didn't?
Again, went back to the golden rule, storytelling. So if the story didn't fit in with a smooth whole narrative, the story was cut out. I'll give a very good example of stories that we cut out. Bloodlines. He begat this and they begat that and they begat that.
Oh, yeah, that's boring.
That's cut out. The Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plains.
Sermon
That was
on the
cut
Mount, that's
out.
kind of important.
It is important, but not as important as Christ's first declaration of himself when he says, I am here to comfort the weak, the poor, and to break the chains and to release captives. That very first declaration he made, I think in Luke 4, is the most important statement he makes in the entire New Testament. Now, that had to be in, and certain other things don't necessarily have to be, even if they were important. What was king here was to tell the story and to reflect a certain character of the Bible. That's why the Bible is kind of cohesive. Right from beginning to end, there's a grand theme going on. So as long as we reflected that grand theme, then we're doing the right thing. Even if we cut out three quarters of what was going on,
now what
we didn't need to have to know every single narrative, every single story.
But you are picking and choosing, deciding what is important, what is not important. Yes. That's a lofty goal. That's ambitious. Some might say presumptuous. What has been the reaction from religious leaders?
They love it. And having said that we're presumptuous, well, you know, everyone kind of edits. Even the gospel writers were editing and deciding, well, we want to reflect this particular character of Christ, so I'm going to cut out that tradition. So you have Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John saying sometimes different things and sometimes apparently contradictory things even, because what was important was the theology. Now, for us, in our way, we're saying, look, we cannot reflect every single narrative there. Otherwise, you'd have a book that's probably 5,000 pages, you know, thick, which is not practical at all.
Indeed. Yours is a lot easier to read on a weekend. Achibayo Akinchiku, thank you so much. The author of the Manga Bible from Genesis to Revelation, using a very modern technique to tell a very old story. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Bye.
The 500 millionth download of Firefox. How the little browser that could did. Next on the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.